Good evening, everyone. B'zat Hashem, want to pick up tonight's shiur from where we left off last on Sunday. In the last shiur, we did Kaddish through Magid. So now we have Ruchsa, washing one's hands for the Achida Matzah. So for Hamotzi, you wash as you normally would for making hamotzi, and you make a beracha. And one who knows that he had no pause in between yachatz and ochsa should not make a beracha. And this means, meaning he didn't, from the time basically he broke the middle matzah, and he constantly knows that his hands, he didn't scratch his head, or he didn't scratch his shoes, or, you know, he always knew exactly what his hands were doing, and he kept them clean from the time that, you know, he did he did Urhatz. So, there are poskim that say that when you wash Rochsa, so you shouldn't scratch your head, or touch your shoes, or something like this, so that way you can be sure that you can make the beracha on the netila. And one should wash one's hands in the house, and you shouldn't go to the porch or outside to wash. You should wash, you know, where you are. So if you're in the dining room, just go to the kitchen. You don't need to wash outside or anything. Now for Mosim Asah, you take the matzot that they're placed on the seder plate and make birkat motzi. So on the top one, the half of the piece that's still there from the middle one and the bottom one. And then, before making the biracha of alichal matzah, you drop the bottom one and still hold the top one and the bottom one in your hands. And then you should take a kazai, which is about 30 grams or so, from each of the remaining matzot, dip them in salt, and then eat these two kazaitim while doing eseba. So you should take a kazai from the top one and a kazai from the middle one, lean, and eat them. And if you can't eat the two together, so eat from the top matzah and then from the bottom, from the middle matzah. And if you only have one kazai, then also fine. But ideally you should have two. Someone who's sick, or someone who, you know, can't stomach that much matzah, so then he can have one kazai, and he's not obligated to eat the second one. And ideally, these kazaitim should be from the matzah that was on the seder plate. But if it's not enough matzah, then you can use other matzot. And if you're not using the matzah that's on the actual seder plate, then you only have to eat one kazai. You don't have to eat both. The only time you have an obligation to eat the two kazaitim is when you're eating the matzah from the seder plate. And like normal, before you give out the matzah to other people around the table, so just like we do it during on Shabbat or other Yom Tov, or you eat a bit of challah yourself before handing it out, so you should do the same thing before handing out the matzah to everyone else. You should eat a little bit yourself. Now, there is something with the Achida Matzah that's a little bit different. It's the same thing by the first night of Sukkot, or in Chutzal Aretz, the first two nights of Sukkot. There's an obligation to eat a kazai without any food, without any talking in the middle, without anything else. You have to eat the kazai by itself. So the head of the household eats a little bit, passes around to everybody else, and then he should eat a full kazai, you know, in Heseba as quickly as possible. It should be eaten within Kedei Achila Peras. The Machloket Poskim, what that means. There are some Poskim that hold that's about 9 minutes. The Kaf Hayim seems to hold that it's more along the lines of like 5 or 6 or so. The Chatam Sofer holds it's 2. I'm sorry, the Kaf Hayim, I think, holds it's actually 4. So the best would be, you know, if the sheet of the Chatam Sofer, especially if you're eating hard, the thin, crunchy matzah, it would be very hard to eat that much matzah in 2 minutes. So better, you know, but if you could try to eat a kazai to matzah in, you know, the 4 minute or 5 minute time frame, that would be ideal. But the same thing also applies on Sukkot. There's a chiyuv to have to eat a kazayit of bread in the sukkah. So you have to eat that within kedei achila pras without any other than just a little bit of salt. Can't have any food with it. Can't talk in the middle. You have to eat the kazayit by itself. So too on Pesach during the seder, you have to have that first kazayit by itself without any interruptions. And one needs to chew the matzah before swallowing. If you just put a chunk of matzah in your mouth and swallowed it, you're also yotze, but it's not the best way to do things. You should chew it and taste it and enjoy it and then swallow it. If someone finds it difficult to chew matzah, or they're older and it's harder for them to chew matzah, so then you can crush it into smaller pieces and eat it, and it's not a problem. For the seder, it's ideal to have matzah shmura that's baked by hand. If not, as long as it's kosher for Pesach, so then you are yotze. But the best is to have shmura matzah that's made by hand. Now, maror. So, once we eat the matzah, then we take some maror. The general custom of Sfaradim is to use romaine lettuce for maror. And you cannot use cooked maror. It has to be raw. And it shouldn't have been soaked for 24 hours. Should not be rinsed in vinegar. And even if it was grown hydroponically, meaning it was grown in water, that soil could be used for maror. This is Machlokas Poskim regarding hydroponic foods, what the beracha is. A lot of Poskim say it's still Berei Pi Adama because it's still lettuce, it's or still whatever it is, still carrot or potato, even if it was grown hydroponically without soil. But Chomer Vadia does say that the beracha on hydroponic food would be She'akol because it's not a normal derech of growing. So be that as it may, since there is a machloket poskim, Chomer Vadia holds that you should, that she'akol, maror should be an adama. But even still, you could use a hydroponic vegetable for the mitzvah of maror. A lot of people are accustomed with choroset to make it out of ground and cooked dates and almonds and other nuts. The ingredients for choroset are not halachic requirements. You can make it really out of whatever you want as long as it's kosher for Pesach. Some people make it more liquidy, some people add a lot of wine, some people add very little wine, some people add no wine, some make it thicker. Follow your custom. Whatever you want to make it is fine. There's no halakhic requirement for that harosa needs to be such and such a way. It's whatever it is. Now, immediately after eating the matzah, one should eat the maror. And you should eat the maror with the leaves and the stem, meaning the white part of the lettuce in the middle of the leaf. But if it's difficult to get lettuce that is free of bugs, meaning you couldn't check it yourself and you don't want to eat that, or you couldn't find the positive or the kosher farm or whatever the brand is around here with the pre-checked lettuce, so then you could just use the stems in order not to eat bugs. When eating the maror, you should eat a kazayit of the maror and dip it, part of it in the choroset. If you can dip the entire maror in the choroset, great. But it shouldn't be, you shouldn't have so much choroset that you can't taste the maror. You have to still be able to taste the lettuce. And you shouldn't lean when eating the maror. But if you did, then you don't have to eat it again. And when eating the maror, just like when eating the matzah, and when doing all these other things, you should have in mind that you're fulfilling the mitzvah of eating the maror. Eating the matzah, you should have in mind that you're fulfilling the mitzvah of eating matzah. Because we do say that mitzvot zrichot kavanot, you need to have the kavana when doing a mitzvah. However, in this case, if you didn't have it in mind, since you know you're here for the seder and it's part of the seder, stam dad here is that you're doing it for the mitzvah, and therefore You wouldn't have to eat it again with having it in mind. You can just keep going. We don't make a bari pri adaman maror, since we already made the bracha on the karpats. And the bracha is not made on the choroset, since it's only eaten with the maror and not by itself. And you have to dip the maror in the choroset before eating it, and if you didn't do that, then you have to eat the maror again. And similar to achila matzah, if you're eating it after chatzot, then you don't make a beracha on the maror. So if you're eating, you know, you start eating the matzah after chatzot, so then you don't make the beracha v'alichila matzah. You just make hamosi, because that has to be done before chatzot, because the korban pesach was eaten before chatzot alayla. Now korech, regarding korech, the kezayah should be taken from the third matzah. And you should make a sandwich with it from maror and charoset in the middle. And you should recite the little paragraph that it says Zecher Mikdash, Kehil Zaken, and eat that while leaning. And once one has made the berachot on the matzah and the maror, he shouldn't interrupt for things unrelated to the seder until he's finished eating the korech. So, you shouldn't speak Dvarim B'Tanim or have a conversation once you start eating the matzah, until, you know, we get to finishing the korech and getting to the actual meal, so then you shouldn't interrupt. There is a custom that some have. They don't speak about anything during the Seder unless it relates to the Seder itself or Sipur Yitziyam Yitzrayim. Tavoa lehem beracha, if someone goes like this, it's not the ikar alecha. Once you get to Shulchan Aruch during the meal, you can talk with people if you want. But again, anyone who is able to try and keep it to the discussions of Yitziyah Mitzrayim and the miracles Hashem did for us on this great night, that is a very great ma'ala that we should strive to. Regarding korech, you shouldn't add, other than choroset and the maror and the matzah, you shouldn't add karpas or anything else to it. And one needs to lean while eating the korech, but if you didn't lean, you don't have to eat it again if it's too difficult to stomach so much matzah and maror. But it would be best, even for korech, to eat the matzah and maror and charoset together again in another kezai. Now, regarding eating matzah throughout Pesach, the only time one's actually obligated to eat matzah on Pesach is on the night of the Seder. It doesn't extend throughout Pesach, though whoever does so, harizim shubach. And the only time you say the beracha v'alichal matzah is on the Seder night, not during the rest of Pesach. Yes, you do have to eat bread meals on Shabbat, and therefore, being that matzah is the only bread available on Pesach, you would have to eat bread on Shabbat, and the same thing with Yom Tov. However, it's not that matzah itself is a chiyuv, there's just a chiyuv of eating a meal, of being koveh seudah. So, it's not that there's a chiyuv from the Pesach aspect, there's a chiyuv from the Yom Tov or Shabbat aspect. But not through matzah. And this brings us to Shulchan Orech, the festive meal. Now, you don't have to lean for the meal, but it's best if you can. But if it's too difficult, or it detracts from the enjoyment of the food and the filling of the mitzvah, then you don't have to. Now, you need to make sure you don't eat so much that you don't have an appetite for the afikoman. Because the afikoman has to be eaten while you're still a little bit hungry. Because if you're not hungry, then it's achila gasa. You have to still have a slight appetite, for the afikoman. And we don't want to drink too much wine and become drunk by the Seder, really. Ideally, the wine should be kept to the four cups and zehu. Now, generally, while eating, we do say that you shouldn't speak. since you could choke on the food. But if while you're eating, you discuss Yitzia Mitzrayim on the night of Pesach, it's Nel Shemurim, so there is no problem here. And just like on Shabbat, there is a custom to eat fish. You don't have to if you don't like fish, but you can. There is a custom also to eat the hard-boiled egg. That's Zeche, the Korban Hagigah. On all the Shalosh Regalim, there were three Korbanot that people had to bring into the Beit HaMikdash. One was the Korban Re'iyah, the Korban brought for coming into the Beit HaMikdash during the proper Zman. One was the Shalmei Simcha, which was Korbanot that were eaten throughout the Yom Tov itself, and then the other, the Korban Chagigah, which is the Korban specifically for the Chag itself. And we do eat this hard-boiled egg even on Shabbat. Even though when Erev Pesach is on Shabbat, not this year, but the reason when Erev Pesach is on Shabbat and Pesach is Moshe Shabbat, so the Korban Chagigah was not brought on Shabbat. Only the Korban Pesach is brought on Shabbat. The Chagigah is brought at a separate point. After the Yom Tov Pesach is brought during Chol HaMoed. So we still have the hard-boiled egg, Zecher the Korban Chagigah. Now there also is an halacha, we cannot eat roasted meat or grilled meat on the night of Pesach. This is also true for the second night of Pesach with Chutz La'aretz. But during the day, you could have barbecued meat if you want. It's not a problem. There are some people who don't eat any kind of meat. They just eat chicken or something on Leila Seder. That's not the Ikar Halacha. You can eat meat. You can have brisket. You can have beef. You can have you can have steak if you want. Not a problem. Liver is not allowed to be eaten on an Leila Seder because it is roasted in order to take out the blood. So you can't have liver. But fish and eggs can be eaten if they're roasted. Just not meat and not chicken or turkey or anything like that. You can have fried meat. Some people eat the zeroa that's on the kehara. But if the zeroa was roasted, you should not eat it. If it was cooked and not roasted, meaning it was cooked in a pot, it was boiled or was fried or something like that, then you can eat it, but you cannot mention that it's in the place of the Korban Pesach. As we said in a separate, I don't remember, a separate shiur or WhatsApp, whatever it was, that you're not supposed to say that this meat is for Pesach, because there's a, you should say that the meat is for Yom Tov. Now, after the meal, after we've had our meat and our some more matzah and whatever else we're having, us salads, rice, or not kidney, whatever you do, potatoes, most likely, we get to safon, which is eating the afikoman. So once you finish the seuda, you eat the afikoman, nechal korban pesach, ha'ne'achal ala soba. And you should eat the afikoman by itself without any other food. There are some people who eat two because they team of matzah for the afikoman, one for the Korban Pesach, and one for the, there was a kazayit of matzah that you had to eat with it in the times of the Mikdash. However, al pi halacha, you only have to eat one kazayit, but if you want to eat a second kazayit, tavol ha-beracha, and you don't have to go with a 30-gram kazayit, you could go with an 18-gram kazayit, which there's a, some opinions say a kazayit is much smaller, so you really only have to go with about 50 grams of matzah instead of 60, if you'd like. Like we said before, the afikoman should be eaten with a little bit of an appetite, should be eaten while leaning. You can't force yourself to eat the afikoman, because then there are opinions that say you won't even fulfill the mitzvah of achila matzah for the night, because the afikoman was the, you know, the korban matzah that you had to eat on Pesach was with the korban Pesach. But if one is full, but won't be it won't feel sickened by eating more. So then he can eat the afikoman and his yotzei, but it's not the best way. You should still have a little bit of hunger in you when you eat it. Not a lot, because that's a ne'echal al sova, but being close to full when you eat the afikoman. You need to, again, we said you need to lean, you have to be very careful to lean, so you don't have to eat the afikoman again, because again, if you're very close to full, if you eat the afikoman once and you're full, but you remember you didn't lean, so then you'd have to eat it again. It could be, you know, if you have to eat another kazayit or kabeisa of matzah, then you could get into question of safek achila gasa, which we don't want to get into. If one forgot to lean and has not said Birkat HaMazon yet, so you have to eat the afikoman again. If one already recited Birkat HaMazon and remembers he didn't lean, then at that point he doesn't have to eat it again, because there are some opinions that say you don't have to lean. We don't typically hold like them in halacha, but once we're already out of the meal, so then we can rely on them. And if there's not... if there's not enough matzah at the table from the matzah that was set aside for afikoman, so the person leading the seder should give out a kazai for the afikoman to everyone until it runs out, at which point you can use other matzah. You don't have to have it dafka from the piece that was the afikoman. It can be from any matzah. And the afikoman should be eaten before chatzot. However, if you couldn't eat it before chatzot, you still would say, but really, ideally, just like the Korban Pesach had to be eaten before Chatzor HaLaila, so too should the Afikoman, which is the Zecher the Korban Pesach, should be eaten before Chatzor HaLaila. Let's see. Now, if someone remembers they didn't eat the Afikoman, this happened to me 1 year, we didn't eat it, we forgot about it, because we actually ate the piece of the afikoman during the meal. We got a ran out of matzah at the meal, and found this one, and forgot it was the afikoman, and then we were kind of looking for it, and realized we ate it. So, we had to find another piece of matzah. But if you remember, you didn't eat the afikoman. If you already washed your hands from Ayachronim, or started to recite the Zimun, you should stop and eat the afikoman immediately. And in this case, you don't have to say another amosi. Now, if one remembered before drinking the third cup, you should immediately wash his hands again with the berachah, say hamotzi, and eat the afikoman, and say Birkat HaMazon again before drinking the third cup. And if you realized after drinking the third cup that you didn't eat afikoman, he should only eat the afikoman if you didn't have matzah shimura during the seder. And in such a case, he should immediately wash his hands again, eat the afikoman, recite Birkat HaMazon, and then don't drink another cup. If you had matzah shimura, then you don't have to go back and eat the afikoman once you drank that third cup of wine. Now, if the afikoman that you set aside being the seder was lost or was eaten during the meal and you forgot, you can eat it from another matzah. That's not a problem. And you should eat the afikoman in one spot. You shouldn't move around the room while eating it. You should just sit and lean and be'ezibah and eat it. Now, once you eat the afikoman, you can't have any other food. So no chocolates, no candies, no Pesach cakes. No problem with that. Now, regarding Pesach cakes, I do want to throw this in here. The Pesach cakes that you find in the store that are made from potato starch are most likely a Bishul Yisrael problem for Sfaradim. And the reason is like this. Sfaradim hold that by Bishul Yisrael, the food has to be put on the fire by a Jew. Ashkenazim hold that as long as the fire was lit by a Jew, it's still considered Bishul Yisrael. Now, in America, where 90% of Jews are Ashkenazi, the OU and the Star K and all the other major kosher agencies, they only do things according to the Ashkenazim in most cases. So when these Pesach cakes are mass-produced, the Jew lights the fire, and a lot of times it's goyim that are making the cakes and putting them in the ovens and putting them on the line and putting everything together. So it becomes a problem. Now, the reason it's a problem is because normally by bread or cake, as long as the jewel at the fire is even good for Sfaradim, because Maran holds that for pat, for lehem, all a Jew needs to do is light the fire, and it's considered pat Yisrael. But for a food item, for bishul, it needs to be, the Jew has to put it on the fire. You can't just light the fire, according to Maran and Beit Yosef. So these Pesach cakes, a regular cake, as long as the Jew lit the fire, is good. It's pat Yisrael, because it's made with flour. But a Pesach cake made from potato starch, it's not made with wheat flour. So if it's made from potato starch, the batter is typically very liquidy, which would be a bishul problem. So it could be that for Sfaranim, all these Pesach cakes are a bishul Yisrael problem, and I advise everyone not to eat them if you don't have to. I really do, because in my head there's a big safek here. I've been trying to get down to the bottom of this, and some of the rabbinim I've spoken to have also said it's a big safek whether Sfaradim can or cannot eat them. So I advise to stay away from them. Now, but in any case, you can't eat them anything after the Afikoman. However, you can have water or coffee or tea or any other non-alcoholic drink after finishing the Afikoman, with the exception of grape juice, because you can't drink wine or grape juice between the third and fourth cup. The third and fourth cup, that's it. No more wine after that. But you can have water, coffee, tea, apple juice, even something with sugar in it. You can put in sugar in your coffee or tea, and it's not a problem. And someone who's not going to stay up after the Seder, meaning they're going to finish the Seder, they're going to sing Chagadiyah, and then they're going to say, okay, peace out, I'm going to sleep, so they should drink only water. But if you're going to stay up and discuss and learn, so then you can have coffee and tea. If one ate after eating the Afikoman, but before saying Birkat HaMazon, you should eat the Afikoman again. Now, according to the Boskim, who hold that smoking on Yom Tov is permissible, or that smoking in general is permissible, you are technically allowed to smoke after eating Afikoman, provided you're doing that in a permissible way on Yom Tov. Meaning you can't light the match, you have to stick the cigarette or whatever it is into the fire, and make sure it's lit. It's proper to say Divrei Torah, and also some people learn the Mishnayot or Pesachim at the table, but if people are falling asleep, so then just continue with the Seder, so everyone will say Haleh without rushing, and then go forward. And regarding someone, let's say he was ill, and he vomited after eating the Afikoman, he doesn't have to eat the Afikoman again. Regarding Birkat HaMazon, so after eating Birkat HaMazon, you wash your hands for Mayim Acharonim. Even women are obligated on Mayim Acharonim, and then say Birkat HaMazon while holding the cup of wine. And with all of the four cups, you should rinse it out each time and make sure that it's clean. Hold the cup with the right hand without using the left, and lift the cup of Tefach above the table, which is about 3 or 4 inches above the table. And keep your eye on the cups so that you can concentrate on the mitzvah. And you should try and say Zimun. Make sure that, you know, the Seder, you should try to, you know, have people so that you can at least say a regular Zimun. You do not lean when saying Birkat HaMazon. In Birkat HaMazon, we have Yaleh V'Yavo. So normally with Yaleh V'Yavo, we don't go back. Any of the additions in Birkat HaMazon, they say Shabbat, we don't go back. And in Surah Shlishi, if we forgot to say Ritzeh V'Chalitzeinu, we don't go back. As long as it's after Shkia. If it's before Shkia, so then you would go back. But if it's after Shkia, on Shabbat, for Surah Shlishi, so you don't go back. Yaleh V'Yavo, we don't normally go back, with the exception of the first night of Sukkot, and also the second night of Chutz La'aretz, and the nights of the Seder. So we have to go back for Yaleh V'Yavo, because there is a chiyuv on those nights to eat bread, and therefore there's a chiyuv of Yaleh V'Yavo. So if you're in the middle of the Berachah Bnei Yerushalayim, Before you said that the Biracha, go back to the Av Yavo. If you said the words Baruch Ata Hashem, say Lamdini Chukecha, go back to Yalev Yavo. And if you forgot and you said the Baruch Bani Yerushalayim, Amen, and then realize right there you forgot Yalev Yavo. So you say Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Natan Vechulam Vechulam, Be'eretz Yisrael, Mekadesh Yisrael, Baruch Ata Hashem, Mekadesh Yisrael Ve'Azmanim. Sorry, the sefer I'm reading from is, all this is Rashi Tevot. There's a special Biracha that you add. Now, if you didn't catch yourself and you already started the fourth Biracha of Birkat HaMazon, so go back to the beginning of Birkat HaMazon. And if you didn't do that and you realize in the middle of Hallel that you missed the Alevi Yavo and Birkat HaMazon, so then you stop Hallel and say Birkat HaMazon, hold a cup of wine while drinking it, but don't drink it, hold a cup of wine, and then finish Hallel, and then drink it. Now, B'zat Hashem will all say Yalev Yavo in the proper space, so once we're finished Birkat HaMazon, make Bracha B'Rei Pri HaGefen, and drink it while leaning. And for Sfaradin, the minhag is to only make the Beracha of Rei Pri HaGefen on the first cup and the third cup, and have in mind that the Beracha on the first cup covers the second cup, and the Beracha on the third cup covers the fourth cup. If there's a Chatan who got married within the last 7 days at the Seder, so Sheva Berachot recited on the cup for Birkat HaMazon and not on the second cup, and the Chatan doesn't have to drink from the cup that the Sheva Berachot recited on. And one may not, as we said before, one cannot drink wine between the third and fourth cups, but you could just drink water, tea, or coffee. Hallel. You should hold, ideally, the fourth cup of wine in your hand while reciting Hallel. And if you find this difficult, so you can leave it on the table, but hold the cup in your hand when you make the Berakha of Yehalelucha. It's best to recite Hallel together. Ideally, Barov Am Hatar Melech. You should recite it enthusiastically. You should sing it. You shouldn't do it while you're falling asleep. Shouldn't say too fast or lightheaded. You should be happy and thankful. Again, the whole night is about the amazing things Hashem did for us to take us as His people. And you don't have to stand for Hallel, but someone who does. On the Hallel of the Seder night, not the one in Shul, but the one on the actual Seder, you say the Berakha V'Yalelucha after saying Yishtabach. And if someone says the Berakha of Yishtabach, instead of, you know, like we normally do like every day on Shabbat, so they don't have to say the Berakha V'Yalelucha, you just drink the fourth cup. And if you say the Berakha V'Yalelucha, you shouldn't say the word Amen at the end like you normally do during Hallel or Yishtabach, because we didn't have a Berakha in the beginning. The whole reason we say Amen at the end is because there's two Berachot, one in the beginning and one in the end. So Maran says in Shulchan Aruch that when you have a series of Berachot together, so you say Amen when they're finished, which is why at the end of Shemona Esrei we say we say Amen. At the end of Yishtabach, we say Amen because all the Tehillim were considered Berachot. We started Baruch Shemar and got Yishtabach. So that's we say Amen. Birkat HaMazon, the first day Berachot or Deraita. So after that point, we say Amen to make a separation from that to the other Berachot parts of Birkat HaMazon. But in this case, you do not say Amen. Should try say Hallel. And drink the last cup before Chatzot. If you didn't finish Hallel until after Chatzot, you could make the Beracha. There are poskim who do say the Yalkut Yosef, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. The Yalkut Yosef in his Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and the Haggadah Pesach Yevi Chabedat do say that you shouldn't make the Beracha after Chatzot. Because there is a machloket in both schemes, and therefore, if you finish halal after chatzot, you really shouldn't make the beracha. But if you do, you definitely have what to rely on. The fourth cup should be finished. Should have it while leaning, and you should drink at least the revi'it, so you can make the beracha of al hagefen. Because if you don't, you can't add the third and fourth cups together. Because if the third cup you didn't have it revi'it, so you only had bula dugma, you only had about 2.5 ounces of that, and then you can't add them together because there's too much time in between them. So you should make sure to drink at least 3.5 to 4 ounces, preferably 5 ounces of wine, or 150 milliliters of wine, or grape juice for the fourth cup, so you can say the beracha al hagefen. And there are some people who have the custom to put an extra cup of wine on the table in honor of Eliyahu Navi. The Mishnah Berurah brings this down. The Shulchan Aruch Rav, that's the Shulchan Aruch of the Baal HaTanya. Sita the Elder also says this. So if you have the custom, then go ahead and do it. If you don't, then you don't have to. If you want to make it your custom, make it your custom. Whatever you would like. And this brings us to the last part of the Seder, which is Nirtzah, on talking about the Haggadah and explaining it, and the Yetziyat Mitzrayim. So it's a mitzvah to discuss Yetziyat Mitzrayim. So people, discuss it the entire night. One should do, should discuss as much of it as possible to the best of your ability. Many people have the minhag to sing Haggadiyah and Echad Miyodeah. There are some who don't have this custom, and if it's not your custom, then you don't have to. But it is very important not to degrade these songs. And it may seem like, okay, it's a simple song about, who knows one, who knows two, very nice. Or, there's a cat and it ate a goat, and the dog bit the cat, and then a stick hit the dog. Like, okay, great, what does this do for me? But there's a lot of very lofty and deep Kabbalistic meanings behind a lot of these things. The Kaf Chaim brings some of these down. Chazon Ovadia talks about this a little bit. So it's very important not to just to knock the songs, even if it's not your custom to sing it or to sing them, because there's a lot of sod, in Yane Sod, involved in them. Also, most people at the custom recite Sir Shirim at the end of Seder. And if you don't, fine. But I think most people in general do. The Chidah brings it down. The Shalach Kadosh brings it down. So there's that. You can fulfill the mitzvah, Sipor Yitzat Mitzrayim, even by learning Halachot of Pesach, or learning the Midrashim, or the Gemarot. Anything you want, as long as you're learning about Pesach itself, it's a fulfillment of the mitzvah. And when discussing the... after discussing Yitzat Mitzrayim, so you should say Kriyat Shema, and don't say the Vidoy. You go to sleep. You can and should ideally say the Beracha of Hamapil. If it's after Chatzor Alayla, there are Poskim and Pi Kabbalah, they say do not say it. But Chazon Ovadia and Berachot says the Beracha should be said even after Chatzot, and so does Chaim David Yosef in his Halacha Berura and in Orchot Maran, that you should say it after Chatzot Alayla, and that he would do so himself. The reason for this is Maran Shulchan Aruch says you should, so Api Halacha you should, Api Kabbalah maybe you should not, whatever is your custom, so go ahead and do that. And this brings us basically to the end of the Seder. We're in the morning, after getting a little sleep, we wake up, and we go to shul, and we pray and sing Hallel, and we, Bezat Hashem, have an amazing Pesach. And just a side note, whoever doesn't have enough matzah, let's say they only have a little bit for whatever reason, so if you only have a kazayit, eat it for the afikoman. If you have two, so one for Mosi Matzah, one for the Afikoman. Three, one for Mosi Matzah, one for Korech, one for Afikoman. And if you have four, so two for Mosi Matzah, one for Korech, and one for Afikoman. And ideally five, two for Motzi Matzah, one for Korech, and two for Afikoman if you can. But again, it's not Me'akev. Technically, again, we've said the only thing a person Dafka has to eat on the night of the Seder is one kazayit of Matzah. But whoever, and for someone who can't eat Matzah for whatever reason, if they're not allowed to eat Matzah, so they still say the Beracha of Asher Ga'alanu, but they do not say the words of the Chol Bo Matzah Umaror, because they are they won't be eating the Matzah. We said, B'zat Hashem, we should all have a Chag Kasher V'Sameach, and we should all see an uplifting in our Shemot, in our lives, and B'zat Hashem, we should see an awakening of the Yad Hashem in our lives. And B'zat Hashem, even more than that, just as we were redeemed on Pesach from Egypt, so too should we be redeemed from this current exile and go back to Eretz Yisrael and offer the Korban Pesach and the Korban Chagigah and the Korban Re'iyah and the Shalmei Simcha, and eat them. B'zat Hashem in the Beit HaMikdash and in Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh with Mashiach Zekeinu, Amen, Baruch Adonai Olam, Amen, Ve'Amen.